The weekend is near, and the next round of footy is finally upon us. And your ultimate guide to all the upcoming action lies within the Fox Footy Podcast Bunker. Welcome to Match Committee.
The anticipation was grand, but what the top four delivered in round 22 went above all expectations. But while there were two winners on paper, were there any genuine losers? One thing is for certain on Tuesday, though, there is one loser, big loser in the AFL, and that is Ross Lyon. And you can also argue Steve Rossich as well, who have been removed from their positions at the Dockers. And we've called an emergency Fox Footy podcast to dissect that in the Fox Footy podcast bunker. G'day everyone, Ben Waterworth here, as is the man now campaigning for a WWE-themed Friday, Max Lawton. Hello, Maxie.
Well, look, the Brisbane Lions are already now one of my favourite clubs. And now the fact that they did a Wrestling Friday at the Lions last week. Yes. Very exciting. I did do a power rankings of the best outfits.
I saw that. Who was number one?
I mean, Dane Zorko, what I didn't see was the actual, he had the walk of Stone Cold Steve Austin down. It was very impressive, very aggressive. I wonder if anyone threw him a beer and he caught it. I hope so.
And also joining us is another man campaigning for WWE Fridays, more with a William Regal kind of
feel. Yeah.
Tom Morris. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, Ben. Hello, Max. What a day.
Big day. Just tell us about your morning in particular. So Mark Stevens and Kim Hagdorn sort of put it out there on social media world that a staff meeting had been called at Fremantle, and then your mind and your phone, I'm sure, goes off pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, when they put out that a staff meeting was available or on, I thought I've got to chase this up, wonder what's going on. And
probably just not a regular meeting.
No, I found out that Ross Lyon had been sacked this morning, as it stands, Tuesday morning, and Steve Rossich had also been blindsided and been sacked. And just to give you some context.
He's the CEO, of course.
Yes, he's the CEO. I'd been to the gym.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I'd
come home.
High-intensity interval training.
I'd made myself a Nutribullet.
Yes.
I was preparing to go on a run.
Yes.
And then coming to do the podcast.
Brag a bit more, please.
It's not bragging to exercise.
Health,
you do exercise.
Health brag.
You have a personal, personal trainer.
I still look like this.
Well, we're on a podcast, so no one can tell.
Well, you know, you can imagine.
Anyway, and then I had confirmation from a source that this story was on. So quickly did a tweet, said more to come on Fox Footy, and filed some paths to you, Ben, and you got that up online, and it was going ballistic, rightly so, because it blindsided not just Ross Lyon and Steve Rossich, but also us.
The footy world, and it's always a Tuesday. These things always happen on a Tuesday. The three out of the four removals this year have been on a Tuesday. But you're right, it's a blindsiding of, you know, in many different ways. And the thing that's sort of really, we'll talk about Ross a little bit more specifically, but the thing that's interested me is the line that you had in your story about Peter Bell and Dale Alcock, the football manager, and the president coming to an agreement about this.
I think I mentioned it on the couch last week. Peter Bell is the man pulling the strings here.
Yeah.
I know Dale Alcock's the president and they need to get approval of the board, and the board needs to be in line with what the head of footy is thinking. But Peter Bell is the man who's come from the board down to the football department. I say down from a governance structure.
Yeah.
And he is the man making the call and recommending that Ross Lyon get sacked. And their relationship presumably now is tarnished forever.
Yep.
And absolutely the relationship with Steve Rossich, which was already pretty poor, has been tarnished forever. This has been, something has been coming for a while.
Mm.
I think I wrote a story on July 22, might even be earlier than
that. On my mum's birthday, that's nice of you.
Happy birthday, Nikki.
Yep.
That there could be a parting of ways at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You just got a sense that something was up.
Mm-hmm.
My information, strong information, is that Ross Lyon was not going to seek a contract renewal beyond next year. He sort of floated that. But my understanding is he told people close to him that he would not be coaching beyond next year at Fremantle.
Yeah.
So this has come a year early and a week earlier than what we thought. There might have been something beyond round 23, but 5 days before the round 23 match is remarkable. This is an old-fashioned sacking.
Yeah.
It does seem unnecessary to sort of do it in round 22, doesn't it? I mean, you've got that week, I suppose. You get to do a bit of a test of David Hale, who comes in as the caretaker coach for a week, but it is still very sudden.
Yeah.
And as much as you'd been saying for a while, you know,
watch this space, it's going to happen.
You've been saying that and flagging it, and then it does happen. And this is why you always have to say, clubs are going to say what they're going to say. You've got to read between the lines sometimes.
You should never trust what clubs or coaches or CEOs or presidents come out and say in denying a story.
Mm.
Because as much as I hate just sticking up for the media as one big pack, the media was all over this.
Yeah.
Not just me, but other journalists were absolutely all over this. And all Freo could say was nothing to see here. But there was always something to see here.
Normally the traditional sort of, I remember at the start of the year when Brad Scott was removed and looking at when coaches had previously been removed in season, it had mainly been with about 3 weeks to go. It was kind of the average around sort of that round 19, round 20 mark. But with 1 week to go, it's interesting what it's that untenable that they can't last another week or have a farewell game or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, there's never going to be a farewell game. No. This is going to be poor.
I reckon Ross could kick six against the Suns.
Yeah. But they need to start preparing for next year as soon as possible.
Right.
And if Brad Hill's going to be the person that says, I want out early next week, as we expect him to do, then it's not really up to Ross Lyon to say, no, don't go anywhere, if he knows he's going to be on the way out as well. So Peter Bell has to be the man in charge now.
What you also mentioned in your story about a toxic culture in Fremantle. And then when an inside source tells you that, like alarm bells are going off.
Yep. I'll be writing on this afternoon. In fact, by the time you're listening to this, you might be able to find it on foxfooty.com.au. A toxic culture is a broad term, so let's get specific. The list management department is functioning terribly.
Right.
And it's functioning terribly for two reasons, and has functioned terribly for two reasons. Number one is the fact that they didn't want Jesse Hogan last year,
yep,
the list managers and the recruiters, but the CEO and Peter Bell overruled them and said, no, we need to get him.
And the CEO was the interim list manager this time last year as well.
Yep. So in effect, the people charged with bringing players in and recruiting players and pro scouting have been the exact group of people that have been... their roles have been diminished by higher-ups. Now, that can happen. The second thing is their list manager is a bloke called Mark McAuliffe, who I've never met, and I can't speak to his character or him as a person, but I can speak to the role that he's done. And he was third or fourth banana at Essendon. He was third banana at Gold Coast. Nothing to do with list management, just recruiting. And they hired him without Ross Lyon knowing that they were hiring.
Right.
So Peter Bell's gone and got Mark McAuliffe on about half the wage the list manager's normally on.
Right.
And he's done a terrible job. And this is speaking to other clubs. This is speaking to player managers who refuse to deal with him. It has been absolutely insufficient how the role that he's done so far this year. And now they're trying to move him sideways for a variety of issues. There's also been personal matters go on inside the football club that I don't think it's appropriate for me to speak about relating to Mark McAuliffe. But they're moving him sideways. I think he's got another year on his deal. So their list manager is incompetent at his job.
Now, is he incompetent because of his ability to perform the job or because of the situation he was placed in where you've got higher-ups coming down and making calls?
Two things here. He should never have been employed in that role. So Rosic and Peter Bell, I think, are absolutely at fault for that. It's a mistake. But also, he's totally unsuitable for the role himself and he hasn't grown into the role.
Which almost sounds like this is me completely speculating, not knowing, having the knowledge from inside the club that you clearly do from your sources, that they've hired someone. If they're putting them in on a lower wage, the point is to be able to overrule them, because then they don't have the power that the list manager would usually have anyway.
Yeah, that's absolutely. And to make it perfectly crystal clear, Freo approached one of Adelaide's recruiters recently and said, we want you to be our list manager. So they've tried to replace Mark McAuliffe already. And Binnock is his name, said no.
And he's third banana?
Yeah, and highly rated. He's sort of he's a good analyst, but
It's
been
bend.
Unsustainable. And then, just before we get to Michael Barlow, who I'm looking forward to speaking to, you've got a medical department who has been under fire all year because of the injuries they've had at the club. Jesse Hogan's won. Harley Bunnell's left the club.
Yep.
They feel like he's been handled poorly. Shane Kirsten as well. So you've got a medical department that's under fire. Then you've got assistant coaches, all of whom are out of contract, some of whom may leave. Brent Guerra's already out. David Hale is the only one under contract for next year. Yep. That is not a sustainable structure to have all these people worrying about what's happening next year while trying to coach the club. And then you've got players like Ed Landon and Brad Hill and Stephen Hill who are all going to leave the club as well. One is a free agent, one is an uncontracted player, and one is a contracted player. This is a volatile situation at Fremantle, and this, it seems like, was the only way they could do it.
Well, it's all come crashing to it and come to a head, certainly on Tuesday. So to have a little bit more of an in-depth discussion about the Dockers and Ross Lyon is a guy who played many years, actually, under Ross Lyon. In fact, 126 games he played for Fremantle between 2010 and 2016, and then a couple of years at the Gold Coast Suns. He's smashing it at media level, smashing it at VFL level at the moment, and he's going to smash it today on the Fox Footy podcast. It's a good afternoon to Michael Barlow. Hello, Michael.
Good afternoon, guys. Not as good an afternoon for some, I suppose, with the news out of the West this morning, which will be met with some mixed reviews, I think. But, yeah, looking forward to having a chat to you guys about all things that are going on over there.
What was your immediate reaction when you heard the news?
I was a bit flat, I suppose, would be the word to describe how I felt, because, you know, I have a really close affinity with Ross, and you know, my football career has a very strong affinity with Ross Lyon and the way he coached. And, on reflection throughout the morning, just thinking about all the good times and challenging times as well. So it wasn't all rainbows and lollipops. There was obviously some really challenging aspects of Ross's tenure when he probably first got to Freo, but then, that 2016 period as well, when, we went really poorly, and then a list transformation after that, which ultimately ended my career at Freo. So, yeah, a morning of reflection, but, I'm a bit somber, especially for Ross, his wife Kirsten and the family, but, you know, they'll butter up and get on with it.
Michael, can you speak to us about the culture over there in the media and the culture that seems to have brought Ross Lyon down? There's many influential figures who have been very critical of Ross Lyon this year. How is it being in that bubble, and what impact do you think that had on Fremantle's decision?
Yeah, Ross has had his knockers for a while now. So I think that's probably a death by a million paper cuts in terms of how it's gone about. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, the media is the media, and the external opinion is what it is, and it does add an element of pressure, but the way Ross speaks in the media is how he is, and he's very, I suppose, trusting in the process of the four walls of a football club and the board and the general manager, and even of more recent times, you know, we've heard some grabs across all the various media outlets of his most recent media conferences in the past couple of weeks, and he's maintained a staunch approach, and he's probably known the pressure was there, but at the end of the day, he's sitting there as a contracted coach and just trying to do his job. So he's always been able to just maintain, I suppose, in the flow, and that was how he coached his players, to maintain in the state of being and what's happening day to day, rather than, you know, what he can't control. But I suppose further to your question, Tom, the two-town team, at the moment especially, West Coast are going to a finals campaign and a really strong chance to win a premiership, and Fremantle have probably largely become, you know, irrelevant in terms of that end of the ladder for the past 3 or 4 years. Mm. So that's where the pressure comes on. That's, you know, the commentary around Freo is how are they going to jump back up the ladder? And ultimately, this fourth year out of the finals and, progression from 4 wins to 8 wins to 8 wins to 9 this year, I probably, you know, at the start of the year thought Fremantle should have been a top 8 side, or they would have underachieved. And, that ultimately, I think that's what's got him.
Michael, having played under Ross, obviously you can speak to this a lot better than any of us can. There's a bit of commentary around suggesting that Ross sort of wears out teams a little bit. He has a great style. He comes in and goes really well quite early, but then some players maybe don't enjoy playing under him in certain ways. Can you speak to that at all and suggest that maybe it was just his time to go, or do you think he could have really rejuvenated this list in the next few years?
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear when Ross speaks and about his opinion on everything. My personal opinion, despite, you know, Ross sacked me, but yeah. I'll still speak, really. Probably for the 30 minutes after he sacked me, I was waiting for this day to come. but I tell you what, I did. I've softened a lot on that and been very, very, very appreciative of what Ross supplied me. So I can only really speak in terms of myself and, you know, the immediate group, I suppose, I was surrounded with in my 5 years under Ross. And I think he's like any coach. He's going to have players that sit on the periphery and don't really understand or have a great working relationship with him, just on the basis of it's a brutal industry. And, you know, a list of 46, only 22 are going to get picked on a week-to-week basis, and there's going to be players that miss out. So, you know, he'll be the first to admit there's probably players along the way that he's fallen out with. But my personal experience with him is just one of great fondness. He was challenging, and there was elements of what we did that were tiring, but they were very rewarding. So that was... Yeah, it was one of his quotes. It's the chicken or the egg. It's you get worn out and you commit, but at the end of the day, you're getting paid well. It's your livelihood, and on the back of that, we if you apply it, you have relative success. Like we did, we didn't get a premiership, but I don't harbour any regrets in terms of the effort and the coaching that was put my way in my time at Freo.
Michael, what do you think is Ross's legacy when you look back at his time at Fremantle? Oh, you just mentioned that you weren't able to get that premiership, made that grand final, yeah, and had that really strong success in years in terms of making finals consistently. But how would you sort of sum up as objectively, I suppose, as you possibly can, as Ross's time?
Yeah, I think by the time I got there for Freo, I'd been in the league 15 years, so 2010. And you know, coming from Victoria, Fremantle were relatively unknown. I didn't really know much about the players or the history of the club or much about anything about Fremantle's existence. So I think within 10 years, since I've first walked through the doors over there, and obviously, you know, Ross, probably halves initially, taking us to finals campaign in 2010. But then Ross Lyon came in, and we had a sustained period of success there from 2012. You know, we went to a semi-final, 2013, obviously went to a grand final, 2014 and 15, at various stages throughout the season, premiership favourites. So I really think Ross is the coach that's brought relevance to the Fremantle Football Club. He's brought, a significant edge, I think, in the way, the players trained and reviewed and prepared for games. And the legacy, I really think, around that period, especially going to the grand final in 2013, it was like Fremantle had awoken in terms of, you know, the whole region, the whole area. If you could have been around that area when, we're going to big games and winning prelims and going to, the place was abuzz. And it does, live and breathe football around the southern side of the river there in Perth. And it bleeds purple. And Ross has brought some significance in terms of what Fremantle Football Club is as a whole. So he can be proud of his legacy. The next person to come in, will be, I think, greatly indebted to what Ross has actually set up at Freo.
And Tom reported earlier that he's going to get it sounds like a pretty juicy payout as well.
$600,000, Michael. What about that?
So, yeah. Well, we can't feel too sorry for him. I did say, no, I'm thinking we shouldn't jest too much about it, but I suppose that's Ross. I think he would have been aware of the
implications,
the pressure that was coming. Yeah, the implications and how to best play it out, I suppose. And not to say he wasn't committed to his job right through till the very, very end. At the end of the day, it's a decision that's been made, but rightfully so. He's got a contract sitting there that he didn't want to compromise and he was willing to commit to. So, that's a nice working holiday for him, or I can't see him being out of AFL land for too long if he doesn't want to go back into it. You know, that's, and I know him very, very well, and he's the kind of bloke that might have just had enough and ready to move on to the next phase of his life, probably a less stressful phase, whatever that might be. But you mentioned that it's a nice enough situation to be in, considering the circumstance.
Last one before we let you go. Could he, because he's been a senior coach for so many years, and you mentioned how he might not want to leave AFL land or stay out of AFL land for too long. Can you see him potentially having another role besides being a senior coach where he can have an influence at a club?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's just got such a great football brain and mind, and his connection to players shouldn't be underestimated either. I think it's really changed as an optic over the past probably 12 months in terms of the way he's visibly out there, you know, embracing players. But I've had some, on a personal level, some discussions behind closed doors where he wraps his arm around you and he's just right on board with you. So I think that is understated in what his capacity is. And that capacity would be, you know, brilliant in going into assisting a younger coach that's just stepped in to a senior role. You know, and the obvious one would be David Teague, who's just stepped into the role, or obviously Reece Shaw at North. So I've seen what he can do with, with players and you know, personal relationships to players. But you know, in terms of the mentoring role as a coach, I think there'll be some clubs coming knocking. I know he's pretty tight with Alistair Clarkson as well, so might be a 1-2 punch there at Hawthorn, and that'd be a watch this space, I reckon.
That's like Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer playing doubles together, isn't it, Ben?
Sounds really, really good. Hey, Mick, you're smashing it in the VFL. Just looking at your numbers here, 43 disposals against Box Hill recently. You're smashing it in the VFL, mate. So keep up the great work. Keep up the great work on Footy WA, which we see you pop up around there. And thanks for your time on the Fox Footy podcast.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Yeah, so wherever you're going, the finals this year, first year time in 4 years. So Mark Williams at the helm, and we've already denied, Ross Lyon coming towards Werribee. We will shut that down for Werribee next year.
Hey, just make sure that Angus Clark keeps tapping the ball in the right directions as well for you, Michael. All right.
If he can win a hit out, once a quarter, we're happy. With him. He's one that just tries his guts out. He's a good man, Gus.
Yeah.
Good on you, Mick. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Thank you very much to he's a Fremantle great. He was such a great player for the Dockers, and then of course finishing with the Suns, Michael Barlow. Just
we forget how good he was in that first year.
Yes,
so crazy that year, wasn't it?
Yeah, in 2010, coming in as that
he could easily still be playing AFL. To think that you've got people who are nowhere near his ability on AFL list, but he's not on an AFL list because of circumstance and age is remarkable.
It's almost like Jared Lyons, given it was a little bit, Suns as well.
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
Let's have a little bit of a look at the run home. So the Dockers, and I suppose a big reason
the run home. How long is this run home now?
It's a sprint.
It's a short 100-meter sprint. Dockers officially can't play finals now, so it's probably a reason why they've moved now.
Possibly, yes.
But the teams above them, it seems that Port Adelaide and above are the only teams that can actually make the finals now. If the Dockers hadn't sacked Ross Lyon on Tuesday, the Adelaide teams probably would have been leading this podcast. But now both South Australian teams are up against it to make finals in 2019.
Yeah, I think they completely threw their chances away on the weekend, realistically. Yeah, they're going to need... The Bulldogs are in eighth right now and they're in the box seat to win. They just beat the Crows, they make it, and that's your eight.
Yep.
And you'd certainly tip the Dogs after they've thumped Essendon and GWS, who are going to play finals over the last 2 weeks, against a Crows side that looks like it can barely blow a feather around the park at this point. So assume that, even if the Crows win that, they need to win quite well, 4 or 5 goals in Ballarat, where the Dogs beat the Lions earlier this
that's
year
right, yes.
to get in. And then Port have to win and get percentage. They are against a caretaker coach now, so clearly that's impossible. You can't beat a caretaker coach. We've seen that this year already. So it's an 11-team race for the eight, but you'd think realistically the eight is probably set right now.
The storyline about the Crows, about rejuvenating their list, which you brought to the attention last week, Tom, has really gathered some momentum across all the Monday night shows.
Yep.
And now there's going to be all eyes on these 29-plus-year-old players and whether they remain at the Crows next year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're contracted, you're safe because you're going to be at another club or you're going to be at the Crows. They're not going to delist you, I don't think, if you've got another year or two on the contract, although we've seen that before. But I don't think they're going to do that. But what it does say is the Crows are ambitious and bold in their list management strategy, which will see them effectively look to offload as many older players as they can within reason for reasonable trades. And if they can stockpile young talent and rebuild in 1 year as opposed to 2 or 3, that's exactly what they're going to try to do. Mm. And helping this is Carlton's first pick, which will be pick 3 or pick 4 or pick 5, depending on Gold Coast priority pick and where the Blues finish. But to me, it makes perfect sense what the Crows are doing. And they've let other clubs know that they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's no surprise the story gets out when all 17 other clubs know that the Crows are going to offload older players and trade their first pick.
Can't sell a house if there's no listing, Tom.
That's right.
You need to do it. And it makes complete sense because the Crows now are one of the oldest, most mature lists in the comp. And yet, clearly, right now, they are not in a position where they're anywhere near winning a flag.
And not just one of the oldest, most mature, but one of the least injury-prone. Mm. And yet, they're still nowhere near winning a flag. So if you've got no injuries, and you're really experienced, and you're nowhere near it, then there's issues.
This year is their best case, realistically. They've had a first-choice 22 every week, and they're still not going to play finals for the second straight year.
And everyone says, oh, well, why would you get rid of these players that took you to a grand final 2 years ago? And the reason is, because that's 2 years
ago.
And there's a big difference between a 28-year-old and a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
Lots of water under the bridge.
From a Port Adelaide perspective, they are in a better position to attack next year. But then Caroline Wilson on Footy Classified drops a couple of bombshells. One about a potential trigger clause in Ken Hinckley's contract. And then two, that senior players have been asked to have their salaries delayed so that they can help sort of rectify the club's profit and loss situation at the moment, which is bizarre.
Yeah, bizarre. You said it perfectly. How can you have player salaries being used to rectify and fix the club's financial issues elsewhere? To me, that's just a bizarre situation that shouldn't be taking place. And the clause is a really good get by Caro, because I think a lot of people in the media knew that there was a clause in Hinkley's contract next year related to finals. We didn't quite know what it was, and I couldn't get it. And Caro found out that he had to play finals as per his contract in one of 2018, 19 or 2020 to then trigger 2021.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't play finals last year. They're highly unlikely to play finals this year.
Yes.
So effectively, it means if they don't play finals next year, there's no trigger for the year after, which is actually like Alan Rich. It becomes like Alan Richardson's contract.
Yeah.
And that just leads to a coach sacking.
It's not ideal. And you look at the power list and you think that coming into this year, it seemed like they were in a really weird spot where they were almost mature enough to be winning the flag right now, like the Crows.
Yeah.
But they were nowhere near it. And you bring in those draftees, that one good draft class has really helped them quite a bit.
Just so the bottom half of the eight, I saw you do the run home on Sunday night, Maxie, and there was some changes inside the eight, but no one actually came from outside the eight inside, and there was some and no leapfrogging in that sense. So at the moment, the Western Bulldogs, this remarkable rise, which has some people thinking that they're the fifth best team in the competition if you're doing a power rankings at the moment, we're actually going to see them in September, and we all know the damage they can do, as we've seen a couple of years ago, once they're in there.
Yeah, and I think their most likely final right now is probably an elimination final in GWS, and they beat them just there on the weekend, so we know they can beat the Giants. The other one being Collingwood Essendon. You'd think Collingwood looks to have gotten a little bit of it together, and they should be able to beat the Bombers given their injuries.
And they play each other on this Friday night in round 23.
Yes, a nice little repeat. And honestly, if you look at the top four, I mean, you said it at the top of the show, there weren't really any losers even in those two really close games, because Geelong clearly showed some improvement and lost to the Lions in a one-point thriller, and then West Coast did so well for so much of that game against Richmond. But if you're a Collingwood or you're a Bulldogs, imagine if the Bulldogs get Geelong in a semi-final at the G.
Yes.
I would be very willing to tip the Dogs in that sort of game.
So would I.
I could see them making a prelim. I think if it ends up being Geelong-Richmond in a qualifying final, you think Richmond wins that.
Yeah, but
Geelong is very much at risk of going out in straight sets.
What the Dogs are above all other teams, in a similar vein to what they were in 2016 and what Richmond was in 2017 and what the Lions are a little bit this year, although that's probably not true with the Lions. But anyway, what they are is a highly emotive team. So they play on emotion more than anyone else. So when they've got some momentum, they're like a tyre going down a hill and you just can't stop them.
Yes.
But when they're no good, they're terrible. So if you get them at the wrong time, as Jonathan Brown told on the couch on Monday night, they're as good as any team in the comp, I think. Mm.
They're also a very different type of team, whereas everyone's trying to play the same way this year. Their handball-heavy game, that midfield game, is going to be difficult to stop. It's a different thing to have to game plan against.
Were you heavily barracking for the Lions on Saturday against Geelong?
No, I don't heavily barrack for anyone.
You are a member.
I'm a member of the Brisbane Lions, yes, as we've spoken about on this podcast, and Melbourne Football Club.
Well, that didn't go
two
so
ends
well.
Of the spectrum.
And Melbourne Cricket Club.
And Melbourne Cricket, yeah, anyway.
And Melbourne Golf Club.
Let's keep it at footy at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And some gyms.
I just love what the Brisbane Lions are doing, and I would love them to play a prelim final at the Gabba against a big team and see what that did. They are unmissable at the moment at the Lions. I don't think Geelong versus Brisbane was an amazing game aesthetically. I think it was a good game. The finish was close. But just watching the Lions against a very good opponent just tells you they're here to stay. And Gary Lyons said it in round 5. Why not Brisbane? And I still don't have an answer for him. Why not Brisbane?
Of course they can win it.
Yeah.
Of course they can.
But we didn't think so in round 5, did we?
No, of course they can. No. They're on top, and they win, they finish on top. Even if they lose, they probably still get top two. It's at least one home final. You'll take that.
Yeah. One of the feel-good stories from the weekend was Jared Ruffhead and a sensational six-goal performance to send off the Hawks. Great, and it's unlikely that he's going to play again, and I think that would be the right decision from all parties. It would have been a great way to finish his AFL career on that note.
Is this the silliest mini controversy of the season?
If he's going to play again.
He kicked six goals. How can you not play him? Yeah, I could have.
You know, but if Mitch Lewis isn't fit, then you've got to play him.
Yes, I can understand it from that perspective, but not from the perspective of, oh, he's in such good form. There's a reason he's been in the VFL all year.
Well, he was goalless for the 3 weeks before then.
In the VFL?
Yeah.
Well, it was probably too wet. You had to wear those sleeves.
But there's now a three-club race for Ruffhead from an off-field services perspective. Gold Coast and St Kilda had been linked to Ruffhead previously, but the third club joined the race on Monday night.
The Demons. Demons would like him. They're reshaping their football department more than the Suns or Saints are. The reality is he's toured Moorabbin. He's got, I think his offer from St Kilda is the biggest of or the most significant of all three. I can't really see him going to the Gold Coast and moving his whole family away from Victoria and the football bubble. He loves list management. Although in saying that, if he's doing list management for the Gold Coast, he might actually still be able to be based in Victoria, as many of the list managers are. But I don't think he's going to be the list manager of a club.
Especially because the Gold Coast pitch is almost that we're getting the band back together. We're bringing in so many people from Hawthorn, including the ones we already have.
Could Fremantle add him to their list?
Imagine that. Yeah. I think he'll be at St Kilda, but I certainly think Melbourne are making a decent play for him.
Yeah. And Carlton and St Kilda, wonderful scenes at the MCG. Another retiring, maybe he might not be retiring. Dale Thomas came off the ground there at the end of an emotional and inspirational Carlton victory. He still looks like, and he's playing like a player that could offer something great to another club next year.
He could.
This looks like they're rushing him into retirement, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like to me.
If I'm Carlton, I don't think they need him anymore.
But you're giving Cade Simpson another year.
Yes, but he's
older.
Is this Clarkson-like? Is this Clarkson-like? Is this Clarkson-like with Mitchell and Lewis from a few years ago?
I could see that,
not to the same extent.
Not quite. Because they're not saying, hey, go get a three-year deal elsewhere. They're just saying, we just don't think you're...
Yeah.
I mean, it does... Generically, it surprises me how quickly clubs are to retire players. You've got 45 spots on a list, and you're probably going to draft someone on a whim anyway that you think might be good, but probably won't be any good down the future, down the track. Why not just give that to a player who you know what you're going to get? And you say to Dale Thomas, you might only play 5 or 6 senior games next year, but if you're good enough, we're going to keep you in.
Yeah.
I just think we're too quick to retire players in general. Mm. Well, in saying that, Dale Thomas looked cooked 2 years ago, and he's actually had a bit of a resurgence this year, so...
Things can change in 2 years. Look at the Adelaide Crows.
Things can change quickly.
Just before we get into the tips and the cups, and there's some incredible cups this weekend. Maxie, anything from the mailbag?
If you do say so yourself. Briefly.
Yes. Well, wait a second. Yes.
Thor's smallest mailbag. Thank you.
That's what it is.
And it is only a couple of questions. Avatar asks, of the teams that won't play finals this year, which will bounce back the quickest and why?
Carlton.
Well, bounce back implies they're coming from somewhere, but I like your positivity.
Which team will bounce the quickest of all those teams?
Which team is the best chance of playing finals of the non-finalists we think we're getting this
year?
Well,
maybe probably Hawthorn or Carlton.
Hawthorn or Carlton. Mm. And so you think that this second half is what they are now?
I think it's close to what they are, yep.
Yeah.
I like Carlton, and I think if they can get a Papley and a Canelio, I really like them.
Yeah,
we heard Alistair Clarkson on AFL 360 talk about that he has officially met, or spoken to, rather, Stephen Canelio, whether, you know, Clarko's got his own sort of drawstring in his own sense, but Jago Amir at Hawthorn. Are we still in the camp that he's more likely to stay, or is the longer the time goes on, are we concerned from a Giants perspective that they might lose him?
There is concern, but I'm still 51-49. They'll stay at GWS. It's not a significant majority. It's more of like a hung parliament sort of majority.
Ooh,
but
right.
I still think he's more likely to stay. But, I mean, we're all saying we think. Only Canelio and maybe his manager and his close family knows. The worst thing you can do as a journalist is to pretend to know what Canelio's thinking.
And you don't know right now.
No, we don't know right now. Yeah. We're just going what people say. Carlton are confident. Hawthorn are confident. The Giants are confident.
I could see North Melbourne making the 8 next year, by the way. I said a couple of weeks ago, I think if they get Ross Lyon, they could make a prelim next year. Mm. You know, probably doesn't work now given they've given the coaching job to someone, but you know.
Did you say after round one that Fremantle could win the flag?
I said they could make the finals.
Make the finals,
After they thumped North. I didn't go that far.
You were wrong.
Well, they could have.
Anyone could do anything.
They won. They're going to win 9 games, maybe 10.
That's true.
Better than we thought they were going to be.
That's true.
Any other questions from the mailbag?
Yes, just one from Gordon Anderson who says, I work with a Crows fan. Sorry. He told me to. That's
is it your brother?
He told me today he hopes the Doggies beat the Crows, so Port also missed the 8. Does he have an unusual perspective on life?
Yeah, I think he wouldn't be the only Adelaide fan thinking that. They're thinking, well, we're not going to make the 8.
We're not going to do anything if
let's
we make
just
it
take
anyway.
Port down with us.
Yes.
Oh, what a strange state South Australia is. But I do enjoy South Australia.
Have a farmers union on me.
Or a Cooper's parallel.
West End.
Yeah. Oh, please.
Round 23 tips and cups. It's going to go right down to the wire. Sunday's going to be fantastic.
Now, can we get an update on the tipping leaderboard, actually?
I haven't done this, but have you usurped Tom Max?
Why, yes, I have.
Wow.
I have taken the lead.
I got 4. And I had a shocking weekend.
How many did you get, Max?
I got 6.
Oh, my gosh. I only got 3.
I got 6.
I think as we sold it on the Thursday, this was a round that was going to decide tipping competitions.
Yes.
And it may well have
been
the Fox Footy tipping competition. More about that next week.
We'll just some breaking news coming in.
Yes.
Andy Otten has announced his retirement at Adelaide, which fits into this narrative of the Adelaide Crows veterans and slowly moving one out, whether it's retirement or trades.
He's been playing the last couple of weeks, so you think he'd play this weekend.
109 games.
Against the Western Bulldogs, had some injury problems. Andy Ott and the boy from Donvale. Collingwood taking on Essendon. This is for the Andrew Jukovic Cup on Friday night.
Famous name.
Yes.
You'd have to think Collingwood at this point, wouldn't you? Essendon. It was impressive that they bounced back, but still the Pies.
Yeah, I think Collingwood, I'm not saying they're peaking at the right time, but they're on an upward trend at the right time. Yes.
Helps when you play the Crows.
Sydney, we haven't even talked about...
They beat GWS a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. We haven't even talked about Buddy 300, which is likely to come around. And if it does come to fruition, congratulations to one of the all-time superstars of the game.
Yes.
Hopefully we get to see him run around for the Sydney Swans and St Kilda clash at the SCG for the Trent Dennis Lane Cup.
Yeah, it's also a... and the Tim Membry. It's also a Pride match.
The Pride Cup,
Fourth year in a row they're doing that.
That's terrific.
Although you hate all campaigns in all games.
No, put words in my mouth.
My understanding.
Don't put words in my mouth.
All causes are terrible, Tom
Incorrect.
Morris
says. I'll just pick a few, and this would be one of them that I would pick.
Fair enough.
I think Sydney win. Just on Buddy.
Yes.
How many generational players do you think there's been this century?
Well, how many generations are in a century?
No, use the term loosely. How many generational players? I would say three.
Yep. Who would you go the two?
I'd go Ablett, Judd, Franklin.
Yeah, I'd certainly put Judd in that. Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
And special mention to your Buckleys and your Goodses and...
Lang.
Who?
Darcy Lang.
Darcy Lang. Sorry, who? Yeah, Dusty Martin could be by the end of his career, but maybe not. I still think Judd's the best midfielder. If all the midfielders are at their best, I think Judd's the best.
I really like the Adam Goods core. I think genuine utility.
Yeah, but generational?
Influential in so many ways. Yeah,
he's a prototype. Yeah.
North Melbourne and Melbourne, this is in Tasmania, for the Shannon Motlop Cup.
Sydney, by the way.
Now, you know how Shannon Motlop got to Melbourne?
How?
He was Troy Broadbridge's replacement player.
Oh, he was
too. Broadbridge passed away in the tsunami. Motlop replaced him.
He did too.
Who's playing this game? Melbourne and North.
North Melbourne and North Melbourne.
The two clubs you were just talking about.
I was alluding to. Oh, North Melbourne. Yeah.
Yeah, in Tasmania too, which helps.
Geelong and Carlton for the David Clarke Cup.
And just before that, Jordan Lewis retiring in Tasmania to a low-key exit.
Well, and Andy Otten retiring in Ballarat too, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Tom, you need to tip an upset or two. Is this one of the games you're looking at?
I'm not looking at any game at the moment because a coach has been sacked today and there's been three other retirements and everyone's saying, hold my beer, I'm going to do something more outrageous than the last person.
All I'm saying is, as a Cats fan, I'm frightened of playing Carlton right now.
Okay.
And I'm going to tip the Cats, but...
I'm tipping the Cats.
You could see it, couldn't you?
Yeah, I can see it, definitely. Gold Coast Suns and the Giants for the Miles Hompsch Cup. Yeah.
He's the only one available for this cup, isn't he?
Yes, as discussed.
Yeah. Giants.
I'm not saying it's the most irrelevant game of the season, but it has no impact on the season.
It wouldn't be round 23 if you didn't have a relevant game.
That's right.
So it's the expansion cup also. The Giants are going to win that.
Expansion cup, that's right. West Coast Eagles and Hawthorn. This is for the time-honored Xavier Ellis Cup.
Oh,
good man, Xavier Ellis.
Yes.
I'm going for West Coast over there. I think they're just pruning themselves for finals.
Yeah, they didn't lose any admirers on Sunday.
Pruning themselves?
Sure. No, it's got...
Or being pruned?
West Coast.
Well, they're cutting off their limbs and growing back even stronger. I see what you mean. Yep. Sure. The fact that Clarke was saying we have a very slim chance of playing finals suggests he doesn't believe they can win.
Fair enough. We're heading to the RAT for the Bulldogs and Adelaide. This is for the Scott Welsh Cup.
It is a mini final, as we flagged a month ago. Bulldogs win and they're in, and we think they will.
I think the Bulldogs will win.
Yeah, they're in good form, the Dogs. And then Richmond and Brisbane. This is Brisbane's ultimate test. Really looking forward to this, as is the footy world, for the Rory Hilton Cup at the MCG.
Richmond for me.
It's funny how we almost had the two prelims last year, and this is the grand final at the G.
Yes.
It felt like Richmond and West Coast were still a little bit above Brisbane and Geelong, so I'd have to say Richmond.
And this is going to be a fascinating game to finish the season. Port Adelaide and Fremantle at the Adelaide Oval for the Josh Carr Cup.
Again, caretaker.
Mm.
How can you tip against the Dockers?
Yeah, no, I agree with you there.
You're going to tip the Dockers, eh?
No, I'm tipping Port.
No, well...
So what happens if there's a draw in the tipping competition, Ben? What's the count back?
Boundaries.
Yes, number of fours hit.
No, what is the... I want to know now.
Maybe we could look back and see who had the most...
Who had the most nines, surely.
The most nines, maybe. That might be good. That might be
I think I had one.
I don't know if I had
any. And what's
any,
the next count back?
Boundaries.
Coin toss.
We'll see you next week.
All the best. Keep clicking back to foxfooty.com.au.
Fan vote.